San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. If you get an app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us on your smartphone. We are free on iTunes if you search It's Your Money and Your Life. And now it's time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author. He's a philanthropist, and he is a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. I'm fresh off a stint at the La Costa Film Festival, lacostafilmfestival.org. It's going to be running through tomorrow. Get out there and check it out.
Yes, you saw Pantani by...
Accidental Death of a Cyclist, right. About Marco Pantani, by our good buddy James Erskine from New Black Films, who's right. Now traversing the terrain in India for some reason. We're not sure what he's doing there, but we'll find out.
Working on another film, I guess. Based in London, though.
Yeah, based in London. It was a great piece. Mm-hmm. And I brought a bunch of Italians out to support the cause, so we didn't need the subtitles. But Accidental Death of a Cyclist.
Now, there's 43 films in the festival,
43
right?
films, including the shorts.
Yeah, and how did the film impact you? Was it what you expected?
No, it wasn't what I expected, because it's about Marco Pantani, Il Pirata, the only man to ever win the Giro d'Italia and the Tour de France in the same year, 1998. Mm-hmm. But one of the key features being featured is, was an interviewee, was his mother. Mm-hmm. And it must have been very difficult for her, because, he passed away from a cocaine overdose in 2004. But she made the point that she thought sport was supposed to be about having fun and being healthy and enjoying life, mm-hmm. not this thing that puts so much pressure on somebody that it crushes them to death.
Well, sports, it's a lot of pressure,
And then, of course, the whole doping and drug use thing that was so prevalent, in the bicycle, that sort of predated, I think, performance-enhancing drugs in terms
of baseball
and football.
I'd like to know the percentage of the cyclists. I'll bet...
It's clean now.
Oh, I mean then.
Because our buddy Francesco Masciarelli, whose brother rode with Pantani, handled the Q&A after the film. He said it's the cleanest sport on the planet
now, but I'm saying everything that's happened,
everybody was...
It had to be 80-90%?
Yeah, they were guessing. They were guessing 105%. I mean, everybody.
Well, I've got another documentary that I want to commend. I saw this one called Sunset Strip about Sunset Boulevard. It was released in 2012. It's on Netflix. My gosh, you talk about hard living, fast living. Yeah. Jeez. So it would have fit right in with this
Faster than going 60 miles down a hill on a bicycle?
A lot of people are going a lot faster than that.
Okay.
But in any case.
But anyway, the film festival was great. James's latest piece is great. I knew it would be.
Outstanding. Hey, I've noticed it's time to get your flu shots again. Do you get your flu shot every year, Richard, or not?
No, the last time I got one was 5 years ago. A week later, I got the flu. So I'm like, well, that works.
Well, whatever.
Statistical probability being what it is.
It's supposed to be a dead virus.
I was out there on the right-hand side of the bell-shaped curve. Nevertheless, I'm like, I'm not doing that again.
What
in fact,
else?
I saw my doctor 2 weeks ago. I said, no, I'm passing on the flu shot.
Well, I'm going to get mine Monday, and we'll see who goes through the furthest through the winter without getting the flu this year. So,
but speaking of peeing into a cup.
Well, no, I've got one
not
more.
Yet?
I got a couple more things.
Okay.
The Seeds of Hope Gala next Saturday.
Oh, right. That's
the Hotel Del Coronado. The key speaker, the mayor's going to be speaking there. Supervisor Ron Roberts will be speaking there. It's to raise awareness for anti-bullying, and also to, they're mentoring some refugee students from Iraq who've escaped because of religious persecution.
Yeah, I think it's 7 students who escaped because of the religious persecution. So, they're now being mentored and
correct.
Doing great.
So Jacqueline Isaac is the president and spearheading that. But if you go to roadsofsuccess.com and want more information about that, that's the place to go. And I guess the real inspiration of the night is a gentleman, Life Without Limbs. He was born with no arms and no legs. This guy's had over, 100 million YouTube hits.
Yep.
Nick Vujicic. And he'll be actually speaking at Horace Mann School on Monday. And he'll be inspiring people. Got married in 2012, has a child, and been on Oprah and all kinds of 60 Minutes and all kinds of things. So looking forward to what he has to say. He must be quite an inspiration. And finally, I saw the other night, I don't think it was Charlie Rose or John Stewart, Rory Kennedy, the youngest child of, I believe she was the youngest child of Robert, the late Robert
11.
Kennedy. Yes. And she's become quite the documentary filmmaker herself at Moxie Firecracker Films. And her latest is going to be, it kind of upsets me because it's already been released in LA and other cities, and we have to wait till next Friday, but the Ken Cinema next Friday, Last Days in Vietnam, her documentary will be premiering there. And I think I'm going to go because there's going to be a Vietnam veteran, I think a colonel from or a Marine who's going to be there next Friday night. So looking forward to that. But with all that said, Richard, I think it's time for our guest. What do you say?
Well, I referred to him a couple minutes ago. He's trying to get there.
Well, you know we had some stuff to talk about. But
I didn't know how
anyway,
much.
I've known this gentleman for a few years, and he was originally from another country. You'll enjoy his accent, but he's the president and CEO and founder of a company called Waterless. Waterless.com is their website. They specialize in waterless urinals because, and you know, this is obviously big in sustainability. And but his name is Klaus Reichardt. Klaus, good evening. How are you tonight?
Wonderful. Really appreciate that I can be here.
Well, we're glad that you are with us. So you must have a real interesting background. I was born in Germany, right?
Born in Germany, came to this country when I was 19 to study.
Wow. So where were you born in Germany?
In Mannheim.
Mannheim.
Yeah, south of Frankfurt.
Okay. On mine or the other one? There's two.
It's on the Rhine and the Neckar where the two rivers converge.
Okay. See, I know.
If anybody cares.
I know a little something about the geography. But I came here at 19 with your family or just yourself?
No,
or?
Just myself.
Wow. That's pretty gutsy. So, and went to school where when you got
at
here?
At Pepperdine University. I mean, how lucky could one be?
Nice view.
Coming nice from view. Germany yeah. to Southern California, not only Southern California, but Malibu.
My gosh. How'd you find, you must have had that, you must have been doing your homework. And of course, they had no internet back then.
No, you know what? It was one of those I guess, lucky strokes
you said,
in my life.
Right to California?
Was looking for an American school, and turns out that my aunt had taken a Dale Carnegie course.
Okay.
She said the gentleman has something to do with some kind of university in the United States. Well, guess what? Turned out to be Pepperdine University. Wow. So how lucky could I get?
Malibu, right? Malibu?
Yeah, Malibu, yeah.
Wow, that's
beautiful
incredible.
Campus.
Well, the campus at that time was just a year and a half old, so it just really had started out there.
Then,
so I was there from the very beginning, yeah.
Huh.
Planted trees out there.
So studied what when you're there?
Business and management.
Okay. And then after that, what happened?
Well, got my bachelor's and master's degree over there.
Mm-hmm.
Then worked actually for Neiman Marcus in accessories.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I have a retail background from home.
Mm-hmm.
Always wanted to be on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, then basically in the late 80s, was looking for another business to do, came across the idea. Well, there was actually also the time when we had really the first big drought, and people were talking about drought. And I knew through various circumstances of a urinal from the 1890s in Switzerland. And haven't really seen anything here. When you're looking for a business, very often you grasp for straws.
Mm-hmm. And but something must have inspired you. You don't go right from retail Neiman Marcus to
different circumstances. I was in a different business importing.
Okay.
The dollar went down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're losing a business. You're looking for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And put two things together. So it was the idea of coming up with something that would be really for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I was blue-eyed too, because if I would have known really all the obstacles that were thrown in my way, but I guess that's really part of it and makes you stronger.
So this was late 80s?
This was late 80s and came out.
Nobody even knew the word sustainability back then.
Yeah.
Well, we really started in the 70s with Earth Day and so forth.
Earth Day.
But in terms of sustainability, you're right. That wasn't really around. But I was early. I would say I was about 10 years early.
Mm-hmm.
But that in and of itself gave me the time to develop the product, really get it into the market and so forth.
So did you start it up in L.A. or did you start down here?
Started down here.
And so,
started down
here.
So, we had just moved down to San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to come down to San Diego?
It was really family and was married, had two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And looking for a different place, and then my in-laws were living down here.
Oh, okay.
So that's how we ended up in San Diego.
Okay.
And never left.
It always happens that way. Once you see it, you
exactly.
never want to leave. But so you settled in North County because your company's in Vista, right?
Yeah.
And so launched in 91 per se, or in earnest?
Yeah, because by that time then I had my first urinal model together.
Mm-hmm.
The liquids were together, the trap, the siphon arrangement,
mm-hmm.
and how it works. And then you start knocking on doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I had very early supporters in the Encinitas School District, for example.
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman there said, man, this is what I'm looking for. I have too many problems with my flush valves and so mm-hmm. forth. But wanted to sell. And then somebody said, what about a plumbing coat? And I'm going, what plumbing
coat? What plumbing
because
code?
You're thinking if you're putting something together that you just start selling it. Well, that became a big obstacle, but there was a wonderful gentleman with the city of San Diego. He's unfortunately passed away, Art Buxbaum.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the chief plumbing and electrical engineer. And he was one of those great guys who simply said, you know what? I don't care what the code says. Show me that it works. If it works, I'll support you.
Wonderful. I want to get more into the development of the product and the patenting and all those obstacles when we come back. We have to take a break right now. We'll be right back with It's Your Money, Your Life right after this. Hang on. All right, we are back with This Your Money, Your Life with President and CEO of Waterless Urinals, waterless.com, Klaus Reichardt. So, Klaus, we'll get into the Mayans in a little bit, Richard, but getting into the actual development of the product initially, how many hurdles and obstacles, if you looking back, if you had to do it a different way, were there any things you would have corrected or?
I was blue-eyed and, yeah. and luckily so. It is really a process because many things in life you just don't know. So you mm-hmm. just either go for it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
If you go for it, you'll find a path. If you find resistance, you try to work it out, mm-hmm. try to work around it in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, with Art Buxbaum with the city of San Diego, he gave me a lot of help, a lot of ideas where to go in regards to the plumbing codes, mm-hmm. which led me to other people who are willing to help. And that's always the real cool thing in business, I think, if people see that you're trying. If you're striving, mm-hmm. if you're honest, if you're hardworking, people will support you.
But how was the patent process?
Coming to the the patent process then too. Then certainly I knew with what I had with my trap arrangement that I needed to get a patent. And this was in the day still before the internet. So you read up on things, you pay somebody $300 an hour to really let you know.
And the other thing, were you an engineer? I mean, were you designing this yourself?
I designed it because I think I'm good taking pieces of things from other places and putting them together
mm-hmm.
with my own idea, my own vision. And that's one thing is the model of the urinal. Because, people have made urinals for the last 100 years, so they have so many designs. So from mm-hmm. a design standpoint,
mm-hmm.
That was a fairly easy one with my thing. But in terms of the way everything worked, so that you don't have to use water,
mm-hmm.
that it doesn't smell,
mm-hmm.
And so forth, that was the what we call the echo trap. And then found a patent attorney.
But I mean, who was the engineer that designed all that?
It was me, essentially. But
wow.
I took prior ideas,
okay.
shaped it, and then you talk to people who know, and then they say, yeah, you can or you should. Or
mm-hmm.
So you just move really forward step by step.
Well, you're pretty gifted in that regard because most people wouldn't know where to begin as far as, coming up with a viable, marketable product, coming from a retail background. So,
so you originally started selling to municipalities like Encinitas?
I wanted to go places where there really would be the best impact. And that's really with facilities mm-hmm. that have a lot of traffic, schools, colleges,
libraries
mm-hmm. Parks, lots of traffic, usually lots of problems in terms of the water use or flush valves because they're mechanical parts.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually odor issues too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to come up with my product in a way that it is the most simple and the most cost-effective, because if it is simple, people can accept it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is cost-effective, then I have customers coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that as a principle really is what always drove me. So I try to keep it to this day. What I developed in the late 80s is what we still have today and we sell today.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have to really make any changes. So in that sense, I think I was somewhat lucky.
And on the front page of your website at waterless.com, it says, a waterless urinal saves on an average of 20,000 to 45,000 gallons of water a year. That's astounding. I mean,
it really is when you look at it. And don't forget, it is potable water. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is really drinkable water that we flush down in the toilets and the urinals. And then that was another reason, too, as Richard was asking where to sell, is where there was high traffic. Because where there's high traffic, we really just use a lot of water.
And the users in public places are very inefficient with water. Without question.
Sure.
Doesn't it drive you up a wall and you go into a... I was one of the city building the other day, and the water was running to beat the band in the sink, for God.
You have toilets that are repeat flushing that aren't getting fixed. You have people leaving the sink on forever. I mean, it's just such a waste of water. It's
one of those auto sink things, though. It wouldn't stop.
And that's actually an interesting point. They figured out through research that the hand-operated faucets actually save more water than the electronic ones.
Really?
Yeah, because it is a preset amount on the electronic ones. Mm-hmm. But again, initially everybody thought we're using less. Once they did the research, then they're finding out they're using more. And that's part of my mantra is always things do take time. Mm-hmm. We do need to take time to look at new things, see that they work.
Get the data, right?
Then get the data, yeah.
Yeah. How about that?
So what would you have wanted to learn while going to school at Pepperdine that you didn't learn once you became an entrepreneur?
Like I said, having grown up in retail and really have lived, we were at the cash register when we were 13 and helping out and so forth. So I guess somewhere that was always within me. And at that point, too, it was simply the drive, okay, I need to have another business. What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And one thing led to another. I mean, to describe it at that time where I'm going to go, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, Derwin Jacobs, we had him on the show here. Richard, his parents owned a restaurant in a little town in Massachusetts. He went to the School of Hospitality at Cornell first.
Yeah, and then when they started Qualcomm, they didn't even have a product. Yeah. They just had a bunch of big brains together.
Well, he did say we didn't have a business plan. We had good ideas, but we didn't have but if you've got good ideas, hopefully the plan will develop. So, right?
And there are always people there to help you.
Absolutely.
That's the wonderful thing in it all.
So how many buildings would you say you're in San Diego right now? You must be in
We are in a lot of the schools.
Mm-hmm. But you're worldwide too, right?
I'm sorry?
You're worldwide too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We're selling in 16 other countries at the moment. But in regards to the city, we're in the city parks, we're in a lot of the museums at Balboa Park, a lot of the schools in North County, some of the universities.
A lot of the county buildings.
The parks. Mm-hmm. A lot of the restaurants on Fifth Avenue. Mm-hmm. So it's really because where there is a urinal, this is where we can be installed.
And how far away is the farthest urinal that you have from San Diego?
That would be in Antarctica.
Oh, that's a far way away.
At McMurdo Station in Antarctica, the research facility down there.
How about Middle East and really water challenged areas? You must be getting a lot of business.
Well, the interesting thing is too, if I made just one other point, is most people think too, we are the most water conserving on the West Coast because of the drought, because of the desert we live in. Well, it's actually the East Coast. Why? Because water and sewer rates are so much higher than what they are out here. Hmm. And again, like when you go to the gas station in regards to getting gas, if gas goes up, you start looking at it. So coming back to what you were saying in the Middle East, we actually sell a lot more urinals in Central America, South America, Southeast Asia. In regards to the Middle East, there are also some other influences on it because of the religion. Mm-hmm. Because the religion tells you to do different things when you go to the restroom.
Gotcha.
So there's a bit of an inhibitor there.
Now, the one criticism we always hear is about the odor, but you have... I've tried your product out there. There's no odor issued. So what do you tell people if they say, what about the odor?
There certainly can be an odor. But when the odor is there, it just simply means that the sealing liquid is not in the fixture. Mm. And no matter whose urinal you use out there, if there is an odor, and it's the same for the facility guys, is just simply get that blue seal liquid and add it in there, and the odor will go away because the sealing liquid is what really makes it work.
There you go. So is that must be all patented and everything, right? Or
no, it really isn't. It's like Coca-Cola is not patented.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that either. So.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you could pour Coca-Cola down there too now? No.
That was not what he was saying, Joe.
Get a different flavor.
I want cherry, but anyway. So, Klaus, where do you see your company being in 5 or 10 years?
Absolutely, a lot more worldwide, because I do think because of the drought situation, the awareness of water, the importance of water, the business in and of itself is just growing almost by itself because people know how long we've been around, you know, the track record we have. And we do get calls weekly from other countries because water is just now an ever-present problem.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to get more difficult rather than easier with regard to water. I think that's the trend. So, but so your worldwide 16, your sales have been going up every year pretty much,
yes.
right?
Yeah, yeah. Luckily, I mean, but again, like everything else, it does take work. It takes good people.
Sure.
Have a wonderful group at the office. Mm-hmm. Have great reps outside here in the United States, great distributors. Mm-hmm. And it's really all become a family. It's a worldwide family.
Do you get out to the trade shows much?
Yeah, absolutely, I mean, we do trade shows for architects, for schools, for stadium screen. I just came back from Santa Clara from the Green Stadium Alliance, which is really a wonderful idea. What they've put together is that all the stadiums have about an exposure of at a minimum of 100 million people. So stadiums are a great venue and a great way of getting sustainability out to the fans and into really in life out there. And they've done a tremendous amount in the last 3 years.
And then your friend, the Green Building Council, they've been a lot of help too, right? USGBC.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. This goes back to 1999 when we were one of the early members.
Good. Well, Klaus, we have to wrap it right about there. Thanks so much for being our guest. And your website again is waterless.com. If you folks want to know any more about his business, we want to bring on a successful entrepreneur with a growing business, and that's the guy. So
thanks so much.
Thank you. We'll be right back. Yeah, we'll have another guest for you right after these words on news, sports, and weather. And hang on. We'll be right back.